I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of The Memo. It's Wednesday, June the 15th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, along with W. Derek Russell and his rumbling stomach.
Hey.
Your stomach making a cameo on the podcast today?
It usually does, almost every time. We just don't usually address it.
Well, it's been extra loud this morning.
Thank you. He and I appreciate that. You calling us out on it.
You mean to get you a snack? No?
Yeah, I'd take a pizza or something.
Entire pizza?
I mean, I'm not saying an entire one. I might kill half of it.
But I'd eat the other half. I'm getting kind of hungry.
Well, let's go.
You okay there?
Jeez, he's talking. He said pizza.
What?
He said pizza.
Who?
The stomach.
Oh, the stomach said pizza.
You didn't hear him just then?
Oh, yeah.
He's talking.
I had a big old sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit this morning. I'm already starved.
I went by Hardee's yesterday. I've not done that probably in 10 years.
I haven't either.
Got me a 2-pack cinnamon and raisin biscuit.
I haven't gone by there for breakfast in years. I'll occasionally go by for lunch.
I don't think I've ever eaten Hardee's that wasn't breakfast. I'm not sure I've ever even had a burger or anything from Hardee's in my entire life.
They're good burgers. They're just like, 9 million calories.
Ah, that'll do it. Maybe that would shut my stomach up.
It probably would, Derek. I don't know if they serve burgers in the morning.
Somebody's talking.
It's not me. It's my computer. Forgot to mute the computer.
I was really afraid it was my stomach.
At least I turned on the... Your stomach has
manifested.
Become, become sentient. And
hey, dude, get a pizza.
What? She's going to try to crawl out.
No.
Go get food on this own.
We saw Alien. We know how that turns out. You having a good Wednesday?
So far.
Today is Wednesday.
It's a pain in the butt trying to close on this house, though.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
But it's a good thing, too. Mm. I'm trying to look ahead to the point where we'll be all moved in, and I'm sitting by the pool with a beer and a cigar in the evening.
In Happy Land?
Yes. It's my happy place.
Have you seen about this gator attack at Disney? We were talking about it earlier.
That made me physically ill when I heard about that.
God, Orlando has just been through the ringer the past few days. An alligator carried off a small child at Disney's Grand Floridian Hotel right adjacent to the Magic Kingdom.
Right near the Magic Kingdom, which is like, the place everybody goes when they go to Disney World, Magic Kingdom. We went there a few years ago. So, this didn't happen far from the entrance, I guess, of Magic Kingdom, right?
I mean, it's across the lagoon from the entrance to Magic Kingdom.
Right.
It's just awful, and they've still not recovered the child. Report now coming that the alligator was feeding and likely confused the small child for a dog or a raccoon.
Jeez.
Just god awful. I can't even imagine.
Me either. Yeah. I would not listen. Nothing against Florida. I would not want to live there for a multitude of reasons. One of them being the fact that alligators have just become so commonplace amongst humans.
I was in Tampa last summer, I guess. It was down there. Riley Manning, our former religion reporter, was there at the exact same time I was, and was just driving down the highway, and I looked, and there was roadkill on the side of the road, but it was a gator.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not a possum or a squirrel. It was an alligator, dead on the side of the road.
It's
crazy.
Plus, it's just too hot down there for me.
It's just tragedy after tragedy in Orlando, and we of course, keep all those families from this weekend and this family in our thoughts moving forward. I hope Orlando gets some good news.
Yeah.
Very soon. Speaking of news, we've got plenty on today's show. We had Emma Kent, but she bailed on us.
She's ill today.
That's what she said.
Well,
she just found out she was going to have to talk to you, and she said no.
She loves talking to me. Get well soon, Emma. Maybe I've walked into her cubicle one time too many to talk to you, and
That's a possibility.
Got tired of it.
So she will not be joining us, but we will be joined by a few other guests on today's show, including Caleb Bedillion, Lauren Wood, and also Jenna Parsons coming in.
We'll see if she brings food. I haven't seen any today.
Yeah, we'll see if she brings us any food today. That would be excellent. My stomach would be greatly appreciated. No, not greatly. It'd be appreciative.
Appreciative.
Yeah. I'm tired too. Can you tell?
Yes.
We want to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's. The locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. You can visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main Street in Tupelo. And we're going to go ahead and get today's show started.
So welcome Caleb Bedillion back into the show. Caleb, how's it going, man?
I'm good. Glad to be back again.
Well, let's talk about major thoroughfare. It's been a big issue around here in Tupelo. Doing a lot of work downtown, out toward the birthplace and all that stuff. Been doing this in phases over the years, of course, and they're, I guess, pretty much finishing up the current phase, which is what, phase five?
That's right. We're in phase five. Voters at the beginning of May renewed funding for phase six. So over the next 5 years, we'll be seeing a lot more major thoroughfare projects as phase six progresses.
But we don't know quite yet what's going to be next because they're waiting on a study done by the MDOT. Is that right?
That's right. When voters approve the funding, there is also a list of projects that's put forward by the committee. And they say, okay, look, you know, if you're going to give us this money, this is what we're going to commit to do these projects, or at least some of these projects. Typically in each phase, they put forward more projects than can actually be funded. You would hate to run out of projects and still have money. So they overcommit knowing that they probably won't get to do all of it. And then the projects that don't get finished, they can push into the next phase. In fact, most of the phase six projects are ideas from past years' phases, right? Not just phase five, but even before that, that never got done. So we know over the next year, most of the major thoroughfare money, if not all of it, is going to be used for the Thomas Street Highway 6 interchange.
Right.
That was a phase five project. There wasn't enough money left at the end of phase five to do it. The way it works, there's a property tax levy, and so each year, each fiscal year, so much money is generated by that property tax levy. And so that's the money major thoroughfare has to operate in that year.
Okay.
So there wasn't going to be enough left in the phase five budget to do Thomas Street Highway 6 interchange. Enough to start, but it wasn't going to be nearly enough to finish it. So they committed that they would finish that in the first year of phase six. So that's probably what we'll see them doing over the 2016-17 fiscal year. So that I would look for that to ramp up either very late summer or sometime in the fall, continue through. After that, it's kind of up in the air what they'll start working on next. MDOT is doing a extensive corridor study of Gloucester Street. That's all the way from Tupelo at the Verona line to Tupelo at the Saltillo line, north and south Gloucester all the way. MDOT may end up coming up with some recommendations that they want to do. And it could be possible that major thoroughfare could kind of come in and say, well, why don't we add a little bit of money to get some of the things we want done at the same time by sharing contractors and kind of working at the same time. They could save a lot of money. And MDOT may actually want to do some of the things major thoroughfare wants to do. If MDOT decides to hold off, then major thoroughfare may also decide to hold off on North Gloucester. I would look for the Eason Boulevard Highway 45 interchange work, adding some left turn lanes to Eason that you don't have traffic stacking up in the travel lane.
Yeah, it can be pretty bad
to turn left. Yeah. That's probably what will end up happening after the Thomas Street Highway 6.
And the possible work on North Gloucester includes some new right-hand turn lanes along that area with all the retail, and then possibly some additional lanes once you get past, I guess, the Barnes Crossing intersection out, you know, Academy Sports headed toward the Trace.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because, I mean, North Gloucester, as we know, just keeps growing and keeps growing. And, of course, Saltillo bumps right up against Tupelo, and it's growing as well.
That's
right. So it makes sense that stretch of two-lane would get some additional room.
Right. The North Gloucester there going past the entire mall retail complex is five lanes right now, two travel lanes in either direction and a turn lane. But once you hit the Barnes Crossing intersection, and then once you get past that a bit, it goes back down to two lanes. So major thoroughfare has discussed adding, probably not going full on five lanes there, but maybe going up a couple lanes once you get closer toward that Natchez Trace overpass. And adding some right-hand turn lanes into the mall at Barnes Crossing, maybe into the Lowe's shopping complex, maybe into the Tupelo Commons complex.
Yeah. Because you're getting that Starbucks and those other places right in front of Lowe's.
That's right.
It's going to make traffic even worse.
More stuff going in there. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good stuff, Caleb. Y'all can read his story in today's journal or at djournal.com. And follow Caleb on Twitter at Caleb Bedillion. Caleb, thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
Also, the Daily Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that's going to allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We've removed the paywall at djournal.com, and it's now free from the first click until the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts, like Brad mentioned, Double Coverage and Capital View, as well as this podcast right here. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. So there's no limit at what you can do at djournal.com. Come stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve.
It's Wednesday, and that means Jenna Parsons is here to talk about food. Hey, Jenna, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Brad?
Yep, good. No food again.
No food again.
Oh, well.
The dog ate it.
Yeah, the dog ate it. Sure he did. Okay. Let's talk about your cook of the week, Kim Overton. She's done a lot, very interesting person. She's done a lot of different things in her life. Worked for a tobacco company, worked for a pharmaceutical company. She worked for a gum manufacturers. She was a teacher.
Yes.
Kind of a Renaissance woman.
She
can cook.
She yes, and she was also the what is it called? She was the America's New Traditional Homemaker back in 1986.
It was a national award, wasn't it?
It was a national award. Wow. She was a single mom for a while, and so she relied on convenience foods. And
right.
There was a contest if, you know, show us how you can use convenience foods in your everyday cooking to make foods nutritious and delicious. And she entered and won. She didn't win the big award, but she was the regional winner and got to go and do the TV circuit.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Okay. She's lives in Belden and kind of had, what is she, I mean, seems like she can cook a lot of different things, but does she have any favorites?
Her chicken and dumplings.
Chicken and dumplings, yes.
But she will not give out the recipe.
That's right, yeah. I was reading that. She just refuses flatly to give it to anybody.
I did ask her if she had it written down somewhere so that when the time comes that she's not around to make her chicken and dumplings anymore, could someone do it? And she said yes, that it was, that family knew where the recipe was.
Okay.
But she, friends have tried to get it out of her, and she actually said there are two things that she does to her chicken and dumplings that make them extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Just two little things. And I don't know what those two little things are, and she's not telling. So.
Did you get to try it?
She didn't make them, but actually I got an email from her this morning, and she said, next time I make chicken and dumplings, you're invited. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, she was in sales for a long time. As you said, she worked for a cigarette company back when cigarettes weren't a bad word, she said. And then she worked for a gum company, and she finished up as a pharmaceutical rep. And one of the ways that she used to get her customers, I guess, to doctors to try different drugs was she would make up these little poems. And she's always liked to write poetry.
So she can write, too?
Yes.
In addition to everything
and
else?
And she would write these little poems and go into the doctor's offices and read a little poem about, you know, Nexium or something, and it would crack them up, and they loved it. And she actually wrote a poem about being featured as the cook of the week, and I was going to read it, if that's okay. It's not very long.
Go ahead, Jenna.
It's called Kitchen Confessions by Kim Overton.
Well, is this the new HBO special? Somebody else made that joke the other day. I just had, that was Derek.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, here, no, it is not. Okay.
Okay.
Kitchen Confessions. I've embarked on a quest at someone's behest. Hope it's not just in jest that I'm cook of the week. I've checked recipe books, searched boxes and nooks for foods I like to cook and what makes them unique. I've discarded this, another dismissed, Some are too hit or miss. And I hate to concede that despite lamentations, in most situations, seems my best creations came from Cook of the Week.
Nice. Very good.
That was from Kim Overton.
Kim yes. Overton.
She said...
Oh, wait. No, I'm supposed to do this.
Oh.
The snapping?
Poetry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Beat poet. Jenna Parsons, beat poet.
She actually said she was a little leery about doing the interview because so many of her recipes came from the newspaper.
Well, but, nothing wrong with that.
But she did provide us with some good ones.
Good stuff. All right, so that's Cook of the Week, Kim Overton. And your column this week, Jenna.
Lemon chicken.
Lemon chicken. That's all I need to know is lemon chicken. And it starts on the stove and ends up in the oven. How's that work?
It does. I was looking, I wanted lemon and I wanted chicken, and we have a couple of what we call lemon chicken dishes that we do at home. And I didn't want to do either one of those, so I Googled lemon chicken and came up with about 10 recipes and put two or three of them together and came up with this dish, which you do, you saute the chicken in a cast iron skillet on the stove. I'm sorry, Derek. Derek's hungry this morning. He has not had his breakfast, and he's hangry.
I'm smiling.
That's because you know you've got a bear claw over there to eat when this is over.
Looks so good.
So you take this chicken and you start it in a skillet on top of the stove, and then you finish it in the oven and add a little lemon juice and thyme to it. And my son was in a hurry. He didn't have time for the side dishes that went with it, so he put it in a bun and had a grilled chicken, well, not grilled, but yeah. Lemon chicken sandwich. And then my husband and I had it with side dishes. Charlie wasn't home when I made this dish,
yeah.
And so when I got ready to serve it, I had to cover it with foil and put it on the back of the stove.
Yeah.
3 hours later, it was still good, so it held well.
And it looks like it's pretty easy to make, like maybe even I could make it, possibly.
I think you could if you've got a cast iron skillet.
Well, probably should get one of those first. My wife wants one. But, okay. Well, good stuff, Jenna. You can read her stuff in today's food section in the Daily Journal or at djournal.com. Always a pleasure, Jenna. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Need to remind you all of the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal. We've got Prep Rally every Wednesday with myself and Gene Phelps, a high school sports podcast. And it's also a webcast, which you can watch at djournal.com. If you miss it live on Wednesday morning, you can watch the replay anytime later in the day. And the podcast itself, it'll be free. Usually drops Wednesday afternoon. You can listen free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And every Thursday, double coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. Listen to that for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo. And for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. A lawsuit has been filed against Monroe County and a former Monroe County narcotics officer by the family of a man who was shot and killed during a 2015 drug raid. Ricky Keaton was shot and killed by deputies at his residence on October 27th of last year. The incident happened after a search warrant was granted for Keaton's home, which had been under surveillance by Monroe deputies. A statement by former narcotics officer Eric Sloan states that once the SWAT team forced its way into Keaton's home, Keaton fired a handgun at one of the deputies. The legal complaint says Sloan and other deputies fired 49 rounds, striking Keaton 6 times. The complaint also says Keaton only had a pellet gun, and the lawsuit claims false officer statements about how the shooting occurred. 3 of Keaton's family members are seeking actual damages against the county and actual and punitive damages against Sloan.
Redevelopment work along the West Jackson Street corridor has been slowed by rain. Recent inclement weather has made a completion date of mid-July increasingly unrealistic. Rainy weather in April caused some delays, although work has accelerated since then. Eubank Construction of Boonville is currently laying the groundwork for what will be the first of 3 small subdivisions to be located on West Jackson Street between the intersection of Joyner Street and Clayton Avenue. The company will clear land where 13 homes will be constructed, install water and electrical utility lines, and build a cul-de-sac street into the subdivision. Duke Loden of the Neighborhood Development Corporation expects the company will seek an extension in order to finish the work.
There could be less new money for the upcoming budget year than originally thought, according to Attorney General Jim Hood. Hood has issued 3 official opinions regarding the controversial Budget Transparency and Simplification Act passed during the 2016 legislative session. The act essentially stops the practice of one agency paying another for services, such as for technology services or for rent. In addition, the new law transfers to the State General Fund the fees and assessments 16 agencies receive to administer specific programs. According to the fiscal year 2017 budget document found on the website for the Legislative Budget Committee, $188 million in special funds will be swept into the general fund as a result of the Budget Transparency and Simplification Act. But it is estimated the official opinions from the Attorney General's office could reduce the amount of revenue produced by the new law by at least $70 million. While it is not clear what happens next, agencies will have to decide whether to adhere to the Attorney General's opinions, which provide protection from lawsuits, or follow the wishes of the legislative leadership.
New figures show Mississippi's economic growth trailed by the national average in 2015, although that was an improvement over 2014's contraction. Gross domestic product numbers released Tuesday by the Federal Bureau of Economic Analysis try to measure all of the economic output of each state. Mississippi's economy grew 0.7% in 2015 compared to a 0.3% decrease in output in 2014. Growth was led by agriculture and non-durable goods manufacturing nationwide. Economic output rose 2.4% during 2015. Mississippi, with a $108 billion plus economy, tied for 41st for growth among states. Also want to remind you, today's episode is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods, locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store has recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners or the employees haven't changed. The owners now are third generation owners of the Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957. The Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That has allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. You can visit Shoppers Value Foods for high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Lauren Wood joining us now. Lauren.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's been a while since you've been on.
It has.
Have you missed us?
Yes.
She hesitated, Brad. Did you hear?
No, she misses us. She tells me all the time how much she's missed us since the play.
Yeah.
What are you wearing over there?
Oh, I'm freezing, so I'm wrapped up in a blanket.
That's a blanket.
Looks mighty comfortable. Don't drift off to sleep.
It's gonna be like my AccuWeather app told me. It tells me the real feel, like not the actual temperature, but like what it's gonna feel like. And said around 3 o'clock, it's gonna feel like 105 degrees today. So I was like, okay, well, I need
so you
to
have
like
a blanket.
Wear something, like I'm wearing a like a sleeveless little dress, like a little, you know. So, because it's going to be super hot outside, so when I go to, like, assignments and stuff.
But inside. You're wearing a blanket.
It's, like, 50 degrees, so.
Meanwhile, I have an oscillating fan at my desk.
We've got a little more insulation than she does,
heater.
Derek. I said we. We do.
Well, okay, we.
I mean.
Speak for yourself. Jeez. Hey, you did a In Focus photo essay on Monday for an old church that we happened to find together.
Yeah.
One evening. Tell us about that.
Well, it's on Old Mississippi 6 is what Google Maps tells me, right outside of Nettleton. And it's like in a stone engraved like in the build that's in the building. It says it's called the Pine Grove United Methodist Church. But on the side of the road, there's a building or the sign that says it was Pine Grove's New Beginning. And so kind of we just stopped and checked it out. It was this beautiful building, kind of just very like statuesque and standing there in the middle of this very open kind of field. And it looked still in good condition, like the roof was intact and everything, but it was locked up and it kind of looked like it had a little air of like nobody had been there in a little while. And you know, doesn't look like somebody there's church every Sunday. And so kind of just walked around and took some fun pictures and kind of actually I wrote a little write up within kind of, I did some research and talked to some people that had like attended church there back in the day and got me in touch with another lady who, Amy Riley, who does like a lot of research on cemeteries, and she'd done research on the small cemetery plot we had found out front, and just thought it was a really neat story. And even since the story ran, I've talked to three more people that had called me and talked to me about it, just to tell me some more information. One was a man who his father helped build it. Another was a man who was a pastor there in the early 90s. And he told me that it caught on fire, like the building caught on fire. which and it was started in the basement, but since it was all concrete, it didn't spread any higher. It just was self-contained in the basement. And then another woman who called me, Mary Lindsay, her and her husband purchased the church, and they were the ones who renamed it Pine Grove New Beginnings. And she said they still own it, and they still regularly go and care on it and take, check up on it and everything. But they're hoping to eventually kind of maybe start something back up and something down the road. They still own the building and have it, but they were the ones who kind of renovated it after the fire. And
that was neat that she called.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate these people, taking the time of their day to call.
So they just saw the story in the paper and
called up. Yes, and kind of wanted to call and share their stories associated with the church and stuff, which I thought was interesting.
When did it stop? When did they stop?
I didn't have an exact date. And that's why it wasn't really in the story. But I think it kind of trickled down. Even the pastor who I spoke with, he said that he was a traveling pastor, so he preached at like four different churches, mm-hmm. and the Pine Grove, there was like two ladies, still going to Sunday school, kind of when they closed it down, and then the Lindsay family purchased it, and I think it dwindled out maybe a few years ago. They said it was, she said it was down to like their family members that were really going, and her husband, when he was preaching, he just kind of hit with his health, it was just getting harder and harder for him to every Sunday go and preach. So they said they still have it, and they still go and, like I said, check on it. She's like, we've had like family reunions there and things, but it's not like frequently every Sunday used and stuff. So yeah, she's like, we still use it, but and still go and take care of it. And she said she wanted to thank whoever mowed the lawn. Because she's like, I was going to send my, niece and nephew over to mow the lawn and, just kind of check up on it. And she's like, but I saw in the pictures that the lawn was mowed and wanted to thank.
We did it that day when we were out there. I just hopped out and did a quick mow of it.
So it's a really neat building, and I keep hearing how, beautiful it is inside. And she said that when they bought the church that they wanted to keep the original, it's these really tall vaulted ceilings, and they kept the original woodwork and the original pews and everything too.
Nice.
So I'm like, it would be neat to see inside of it, but I haven't seen it.
All right, Lauren, thank you for joining us today. You want to stick around for the closing?
Of course I do.
Like old time sakes. Yep. Take us home, Bradley.
Where are we going?
Home. Yes.
I'd like to go home.
It's almost lunchtime. I'll go home for lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as we speak, it is almost lunchtime. Speaking of food. It's called a segue. I need to remind you all that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. You can visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. You love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people that you knew at Palmer's.
There you go.
There you go, man. Pretty good show, even without Emma
Kent. Bring it in. Yeah, Emma. Yeah, Emma ditched us.
Hope she gets well.
Could have had you both in here and had like a battle of the sexes type thing. Battle of the hosts. Gender hosts.
So we obviously know who would have won.
What? No.
Yeah, women. Yeah.
Course.
Be the first to admit that.
Yeah. What? In a staring contest?
Yes, I won. Nah. You blinked. You looked away.
Dang it.
So you can't even win that. How can you win against them?
True. I'm telling you, man, Lauren and Emma are going to end up taking over this podcast someday.
I know it.
No, we're just going to start our own podcast and beat you at everything.
Wow. Okay. We're on the same team here, Lauren.
Are we?
Apparently she's not. I call dibs on their team.
Can we guest host on their podcast then?
No. If we'll let you.
Will it be a Daily Journal production?
We'll think about it.
Will it be a Daily Journal production, or are you just going to go independent on your own? I don't know.
We'll see.
What are you going to talk about?
Anything. Everything.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
That'll come up.
I'd definitely get in on that then. Derek's not as big a fan.
Not a fan of Harry
Potter.
No,
he's not.
What's up with that?
It's okay. I don't trash it or anything. It's not my thing. It. Yeah.
Yes. Appreciate that. That's good. Because
it's okay to not like something and also not hate it.
Agreed. Right. I agree. Mm-hmm. Totally agree with that. some people get off on just criticizing things they don't like, which I'll be honest, I've been guilty of that in the past.
They're like, I don't get it. I've never seen Star Wars. I don't get it. And it's like,
see, that's like me. Star Wars, it's fine. I enjoyed this past movie.
But that's incorrect.
The whole franchise. That's wrong.
You're wrong.
It's not like I don't like it. It's just like, I'm just not crazy about it like a lot of people, you know. It's one of those things.
Yeah, you enjoy it. You saw the movie.
Yeah, the last one. I enjoyed this past movie.
Yeah.
So, you know. Well, I'm into Harry Potter. My third oldest child, as you know,
Hufflepuff.
Lauren, is she's got the Hufflepuff shirt
Hufflepuff.
And a bunch of other stuff. So, I mean, the books are better than the movies, but
Dumbledore dies on page 496.
Spoiler.
Hashtag.
The books are much better than the movies.
Yes. Which is usually the case.
I can't wait to find out a spoiler from this new play and then go post it on the internet and ruin it for everybody.
I will kill you because I'm going to London to see that play.
Oh, yeah, the Harry Potter play. What's it about again?
It's like I have actually heard that it takes off from the epilogue.
So it's what happens afterwards.
Yeah. It's his son.
Oh, right. Didn't I see something recently on AV Club or something? They had the cast?
Yeah.
They have photos.
They showed them? Yeah, the photos of the cast.
Mm-hmm. And there's like Draco Malfoy and his son, Scorpius.
I did read some things. Would you like me to share?
No.
I follow somebody who went to the opener.
Yeah, though they're in like the previews.
Yeah.
You're going all the way to England for that. That's dedication.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And you have to go it's a two-parter. So one night you have to go to part one and the next night you go back and go to part two.
Well, listen to this. We had to reschedule.
It's a 5-hour show.
So we had tickets for August and we had to reschedule. So I had to buy new tickets. So Justin and I are going to the first part, and then I'm going to the second part because we could only get one ticket.
Well, Justin won't know how it ends.
He's going to go to the pub somewhere, and I'm going to go fill him in. I'll
sure,
him
you
in
could
after.
Scalp him, I'm sure.
He's not as into it as you are, is
he? Were you able to sell your other ones?
That's a whole thing that we don't need to discuss on podcast because it's a mess, and ATG Tickets needs to figure out their issues.
Is it in London?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Justin's just going to hang out at a pub in London.
Exactly. That sounds great.
I might tag along for this trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've been wanting to go to London for a long time. So
I've never gone.
Well, PotterFan42 says that right before intermission,
Draco kills everyone.
Harry dies.
I regularly look, not once a day, but MuggleNet, I keep up. And see what's going on.
Did you get sorted when they did the whole
Pottermore?
Yeah,
obviously.
Pottermore.
I was in beta. Some problem with beta.
This was way
back. That's so basic.
I know.
You were in high school, right, at that time?
College.
Okay.
I remember being so excited. I finally got my invite to Pottermore.
The only thing I know about Harry Potter is from friends who like Harry Potter. I read the first three books, and I watched the first four movies.
The movies, I thought, get progressively better. The fourth was one of my favorites. I thought that's when it really...
Fourth book was my favorite.
Maggie, you're a big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah,
she's a big...
The fourth movie 2 days ago.
She's a big Harry Potter fan.
Well, for the third or fourth.
Oh, okay, yeah. The third or fourth time.
My sister's always finished the book, so...
Nice, of course. Yeah,
I like that one.
Justin and I made him read them. And he enjoyed it, but we've been watching the movie after we finish each book. So
the only problem I have with the Harry Potter movie series is I just don't think the acting from the main characters is that great. You have all these amazing supporting cast members.
I know.
You know, now I'm blanking out on every single name.
Dumbledore?
No, I'm trying to think of the actors' names.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, obviously. And
all of them.
The guy that plays the second Dumbledore.
I don't remember his name.
Richard Harris was the first one, then he unfortunately died.
Yeah,
Michael Gambon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you just got this who's who of English actors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then, I'll be honest, I don't think Daniel Radcliffe's that great.
I mean, he was a kid.
I understand that. You know, when you start out, you got 11-year-olds in there, you're not going to have a bunch of Haley Joel Osments up in there. But
and you can see some growth, I'd say.
Here's one thing, I know we're going off on a tangent.
We're talking about Harry Potter.
Speaking of the bad acting, the kid that plays Seamus, mm-hmm. I thought he actually got worse with each movie.
Really?
As an actor.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was possible, but he did. He starts out when he's 11. By the time he's 20-something, he's worse actor than he was. I don't know. Anyway.
Are you excited for that other one that's coming out? Because apparently people are trashing it left and right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. I'm obviously going to go see it. If they show it at midnight, I'll be there.
Is the book already out for that?
Oh, it's Those are out when the first, okay, like, two or three were. Are we talking about
the magical creatures of,
yeah, the whatever.
Fantastic Beasts.
And Where to Find Them.
Oh, right, right.
And it's like a very small, almost like a supplement book. It's like a textbook kind of, mm-hmm, and it's really small, really small book. So it's, and it's like a describing the creature. So it's like not a fiction story. I mean, it's fiction, obviously, but it's not like a story.
They're real. They're real.
They're all real. Unicorns are real.
Yes. Hippogriffs, but it's not like real. A story about this character. It's, no. They totally took kind of liberty with creating this whole story.
But it's like same universe, but set, mm-hmm, in America, like in the 20s, yes, or the 30s.
And it's actually like a relative of, I think, Luna Lovegood, like one of the characters, like a distant relative. I know you don't know.
Looney Lovegood.
Looney.
Didn't J.K. Rowling write that?
I'm sure she, I know she wrote like the book, but I'm sure she had some.
Oh, yeah. She's got a job, oh, yeah, at Warner Brothers now.
Well, so here's my idea now. The podcast. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think you should do a podcast with my third oldest daughter, Trinity, because, yeah, again, she's a huge Potter fan.
There's,
y'all could just do it.
Yeah, there aren't any. I'm sure
there's plenty already. Yeah. I know there's tons, but you could just do your own twist on the Harry Potter podcast, because, yeah, it's you, and then it's like this 14-year-old kid.
Yeah,
you know, you she grew up with it. You, well, kind I of grew, up, grew with up with it, but she literally, I mean, it's the series is slightly older.
I
than
was
she
11
is.
When I read the first book, and then
the first book came out when, late 90s, early, mm-hmm, 2000s.
Yeah,
okay, she was born in 2002.
And then when I graduated, yeah, college was when the seventh movie came out, part, yeah, two. So I like, and the seventh book came out when I graduated high school.
Okay.
So it was very much like,
I'm sure there's a million Harry Potter podcasts, but what's one more? Uh-huh. Okay, Derek's.
Derek's done.
Derek's done. I think we should be done as well. Okay.
You got me excited, so
I know.
I'm just blabbing.
We go off on tangents all the time. He can't talk. All right, that's it. You can find us online, of course, on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Listen to us either on iTunes, your podcast app, or on your web browser at memo.djournal.com. Find all the news, sports, and entertainment you need for Northeast Mississippi at djournal.com, and follow the journal on Twitter at djournalnow. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Derek is on there at W. Yeah, Derek Russell.
That's him.
And Lauren is even on Twitter, mm-hmm, at Wood, LAU2.
Two, yeah.
Wood Law.
Would law to
allow.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. All right. So that's it. We'll be back tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Woo.
With more awesomeness.
I love you tomorrow.
More Harry Potter talk, I'm sure.
Woo. It's only a day away.
All right. See y'all next time.